I don't
I'm in a
know.
feeble little horse shirt. You're in a feeble little horse shirt. We should have sex.
I'm actually, if you
What
want
are
to know
you
the
in?
reality of the situation,
Oh.
that's the reality of the situation. So I guess we're not having sex today, are we?
Anyway.
For audio listeners.
Oh my God.
Oh my
I
God,
if
no.
you say for audio listeners,
For
I'm literally
audio
gonna shoot
listeners, that I'm
myself.
actually wearing a Twilight shirt
I'm
underneath
gonna
my
literally
sweatshirt.
kill you.
Hey, for all the audio listeners,
It's
if
so
you can't see
annoying.
me, I'm crying right
It's so
now.
annoying.
I, Nico Page, hereby request Josh Ovaya for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
And I used to watch your TikToks during quarantine of you like dancing and stuff, and they were really
Oh my
sweet.
gosh. Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Aww.
That was a long, like a lot, like not a long time ago, but a long time ago. And
Yeah.
I know that we're all probably just like mature humans from
No,
in comparison to that. So it's funny.
it's very funny. It feels like a lifetime ago, but also when you like count the numbers, you're like, oh, that's only like 3 years ago. That's crazy.
Yeah,
Almost
that's
four, I
crazy.
guess, now.
It just feels long ago because of thinking about how different of a person you were back then compared
Yeah.
to now.
No,
Yeah.
those videos were so cute though. Like they're like I don't know. I feel like I was always like sucked in because I was like, these seem very genuine for dancing videos. You know what I mean? Like
Yeah.
there wasn't a lot of that on TikTok at the time, and it was also just such like a it was just like a peak of TikTok, I feel like, where like it like kind of created a lot of like people's personas. But hey, welcome back everyone to the Internet is Dead podcast. Today we're joined by Nico. They used to post on TikTok during quarantine and, you know, just like in general, and posted a lot of really sweet dancing videos and has a really cool style. So yeah, we're excited to talk to you today.
Thank you for having me.
Of course.
To start off, would you be able to just talk a little bit about your social media, like what your just like life looked like, and also just like why you decided to start posting videos, just in general, like an outline of your experience online?
Yeah, I mean, I think like all of us kind of grew up like being on the internet and stuff. I'm 26, so like I grew up in kind of the golden era of like YouTube starting out and like all of us kind of being subjected to how crazy that was, and like early Instagram kind of stuff where people were posting like all the time and it was really crazy. And then I kind of like through high school and stuff, like obviously we're like in social media, like really wrapped up in that. And then when I became an adult and was like living on my own and meeting new people, like social media was kind of like it was just there, like it existed so like normally, and like I think everyone was just kind of like, yeah, that's there and we're all on it and we all participate in it and it was very normal. And then I think I had like a pretty like normal balance like being online and like just like consuming media. And like I used to skate, and so like a lot of friends would do like skate clips and stuff, and we would like share a lot of fun and stuff like through that. And then when the pandemic happened, I think it's just like the classic being bored and stuff, like being on TikTok, like just like me consuming TikTok. Like I didn't really go on TikTok till the pandemic happened, and then I moved to New York and then came back home to Seattle again. And through that process, like I ended up living alone, and that was the apartment that I started doing those videos in. And really, like the honest reason that I like started doing those videos was because like vaccines and stuff hadn't come out yet, so people were still extremely like wary of being around each other, and like people were still in kind of like their little like social bubbles and stuff, and I was living alone, and so I was alone all the time. And like I would see friends like every so often, but it wasn't like super often or anything. And I think I just got really lonely and like kind of was struggling. I was dealing with like a breakup at the time and like moving back and forth and stuff from New York to Seattle again and living alone and all these things combined. Like I just was struggling super hard and ended up using like TikTok as an excuse to like clean my apartment and like make my bed and make coffee and like get up and put clothes on and like clean, you know, just all these things where I was like, it's a silly use of something to like a bigger, like trying to like take care of myself kind of thing. And I grew up like as a little kid, like I did dance, like that was something that I loved doing when I was young and or younger. And so I would like be in my bedroom, like dancing to music, like on my little, you know, like CD player or whatever. And I remembered that and remembered how like good it felt to like move and stuff. And since I was living alone, I was like, wow, I can do this like in my apartment, like through my whole apartment. And like, that kind of became my idea for like, okay, I'm gonna like do that and that'll help me feel better. And then also I'm gonna record it and put it publicly so that I am like holding myself to this like standard of like cleaning and like putting clothes on and taking care of myself and like eating and like all this stuff. And it was kind of like my kickstart to my day. And then a video like got popular and people liked it, and so I was just like, okay, like I'll just keep doing it, whatever. And yeah, and then it kind of snowballed into what it was like through that year. But yeah,
that's really cool. I feel like it's nice because I think everyone was in a similar boat and to different extents, because living alone during that time probably was insane.
Yeah,
but I feel like it was a nice thing to watch and a positive thing to watch at the time, because everyone was so just like stuck in where they were and all you could do was just be in your house. So like, it's nice that you kind of made something positive out of that.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. It was definitely I was not expecting it to become what it turned into at all.
Yeah. That's so interesting also, because I was just thinking as you were talking about getting on TikTok because of quarantine and just the rise of TikTok being in aligned with COVID happening. And it's just so interesting to think about, like, if the pandemic never happened, if TikTok would still be what it is today. Because I know, at least for me, like, I remember my freshman year, my roommate in college was on TikTok, and I remember being like, that app is so stupid. Like, I'm never getting on that app. And a lot of people had that, where they had this like superiority complex around TikTok. And then I feel like a lot of people were in a similar situation where quarantine happened and everyone was just kind of stuck in their houses. And there was this new thing that they finally succumbed to being on. So that's also a really interesting thing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, it's definitely an interesting thing to think about. I think like, I feel like at some point it probably would have like gotten a lot popular, like more popular, but I feel like it would have taken so much more time, like for sure.
Yeah. Those videos as a whole, like what you mentioned about like cleaning your apartment and stuff, it's funny because I think from the outside, for me as a viewer, I was like, their house is so beautiful and so cool. Like, to just think about those personas as well on TikTok, especially then, because it, I think, accentuated a lot of parasocial stuff to just be seeing people only online.
Yeah, it's like definitely pulling back the curtain and being like, oh yeah, like little did people know my apartment had like clothes everywhere and like a you know, sink full of dishes that had been there for like days. And yeah, it's, I think it's the whole like parasocial like aspect of it. I feel like it's like at the end of the day, we're like the most normal people just like putting ourselves online without really thinking about it. And I think like, you know, the way that we view like knowing people via social media and like the precursor to that was like celebritydom and whatever, and that we like somehow attached that like same concept to like social media, where it's like this person isn't real, or like this is the only like version of them that I see, so therefore this is the only version of them that they are. When it's like at the end of the day, like we're all just people that are like actually just living our lives and trying to like do what we can, or like, you know, just being human. Like, you're just a human being. And like, I'm gonna be like messy, or I'm gonna, like have days where I struggle or whatever. But like, obviously, that's not like what I'm putting out there online for people to view. And I think I started to go down like that road of just being like, I remember posting stuff where I was like, this is kind of like my day, and just trying to be a little more honest about like, I had like a rough day today, and that's like normal and like okay and whatever. And obviously, it was still like pieced together in like a very, aesthetically pleasing kind of way or whatever. But I think I'd still wanted to have like a little more like honesty on it, because I think I did receive a lot of comments where it was like that pedestalizing almost of like, oh, you're so capable of all these things. And it's like, well, yeah, like I'm using this as like a means to do that, right? And that like it, like at the end of the day, like I'm still, gonna have those times where I'm like struggling, and the that like happens with everyone. Like, it's not just me, obviously. It's like we all have tough days, and we all have to remember that like that's just like what life is,
Yeah.
Did it ever bother you how people perceived you? Or did you think about what it probably seemed like from like an arm's length away in that like parasocial sense?
I think there were days where it for sure bothered me. I think there was this struggle to like have people make assumptions of like who I was or what my life was like and stuff, like when they're only getting such a small like amount of who I am. Like, obviously, I think a lot of the feedback on TikTok, I feel very lucky. It was all very like positive most of the time. And it never like turned into something like really, really horrible, like in terms of like comments or, whatever. But I think it was like hard to have people, like requesting to speak with me and stuff, and just making all these assumptions of like me having my life put together, or me like having all of these like things and stuff. And it was like, well, yeah, but like also I'm making this because I'm alone in my apartment all the time. At the time, I was struggling with like feeling accepted in like my friend groups at the time as well, because I like hung out with majority of like men who skateboarded. And like, as much as I love them so much and care for them so much, it was like a struggle to feel like a sense of like genuine belonging. And that was like something that I was always like ruminating on, like while people were giving me this feedback on TikTok of like, oh, you're so lucky to have all this stuff. And which is true, like it is like a blessing in some ways, but I think it was just like a struggle to be like, I'm still a human being struggling with like my social life and like regular life, just like with the pandemic and like being able to see my family and, like all these different things that were going on that obviously I wasn't putting out there online, and that people would really take it at face value and not like think a little deeper in terms of like, oh, well, because they're not saying anything, that means they're not struggling, or they're not saying anything, so that means they're not, yada, yada, yada. Like, the possibilities are endless when it comes to like what people might be going through. And like, that's just like, I think a lesson we all have to learn eventually, like just in life in general. You never know like what people might be going through. Just because they're not telling you about it, doesn't mean they like, whatever facade they're putting on or whatever part of them they're showing to you, like there's, a million other possibilities of what other parts they might be, dealing with and stuff. And I think with social media, that concept is like exacerbated to like a huge degree, like where it's like, it's somebody that you're looking at on the internet and can fully like detach as like a, this is an other, this is like not a real person almost. And I think also just the quick like reactive thinking that like has been bred online. I like really truly don't blame people for, just being like, oh, blah, 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 because that's like what, we've all kind of been trained to do on social media, is be like super reactive, or like first thought that comes in your head, that's like what people are saying. And I think I was really lucky to at least have it be like a more positive side of that reaction, but it was still difficult for sure to, like I didn't even want to like combat people with it because I was like, what's the point of like trying to convince people of something? Like, why do I want to convince them of this when like I know what I'm going through and that's okay? And like, like if I want to have that conversation with like my followers or at that time, like then maybe I will like contemplate that. But I think I ended up just kind of being like, I don't think I need to explain that to people. Like, I think it's more something for me to just like think about and like navigate going forward. Like, is this something that like I want to continue doing? Is this something that, like at some point should I like share that reminder with people, or like should I be like a little more honest about what I might be going through or whatever? Do I want to share myself on the internet in that way? Like all those different things. Like I think that experience with people giving me that feedback, those were all the things that I like ended up thinking about.
It's also crazy how easy it is for people to like be convinced of the opposite. Like just hearing you talk about that, just how that's the first reaction to think, oh, this person, because they're showing me this great video of them dancing and they're so cute and wearing a great outfit and their house looks so cute, their life is like a different thing than what like every human is experiencing. And that's just very interesting that that's our first thought.
Yeah, I'm curious also if you think like it's gotten better at all just in general, because I feel like on one hand there is kind of more of an awareness because I feel like people try to be more, or some people try to be more real on social media or show like behind the scenes more, and I feel like that's also what people want more as viewers. But then at the same time, it's like, can you ever like really escape from those snap judgments that social media makes? Because it feels like it's catered to make those snap judgments and to be so reactive, you know?
Yeah, totally. I think, well, just for context, I don't have like any social media now. I like have Instagram, but I don't have it on my phone, and I only check like on my laptop like at the end of the week or something. Like so I'm actually like super detached to what is going on in terms of like how people act on social media and stuff now, or even just like I don't know what relevant jokes are going on anymore sometimes, or just like, super kind of disconnected from that. But I think there is definitely like an awareness. I think it depends on like what circles you run in, obviously, but like I think there is like definitely more of an awareness that people are having with like how they feel while they're being on social media, how reactive they might be being on social media, and like taking a moment to like pause. And like, is that something, do you even need to like interact with that, at the same time, I think there is like it's snowballing into like more and more where people are like super, super reactive and people are like full throttle, like saying some of the most like evil shit I've ever like heard. Like I have like one of my very good friends, like one of my best friends, was also on TikTok and like still is. And they do like comedy and stuff, and they've had like the brunt end of that, like where people were like really, really reactive and terrible and said really terrible things to them. So I feel like it still exists for sure. And I think it just depends on like what side of like social media you're on, or like what groups you're in, and like whether people are willing to like be a little more like aware of themselves or not. I think is, definitely like the biggest portion. I think there's a lot more people who are choosing to be aware. But I think it's easy to say that when you live in places that tend to be more in like a bubble where that's like normal, versus like there's a lot of places where that's not the case.
We talk about that a lot with us living in sort of a bubble of just being in a big city, and so it's very aware, and yeah, it feels like everyone just has this general awareness about a lot of social stuff and dynamics that it's hard to remember that outside of that, a lot of people are living in, the majority of people are living in spaces where that's not a thing.
Yeah, totally.
I feel like we were reminded of that with like even just the election recently. It's
Yeah.
like, I feel like that's always a wake-up call to be like, oh, half the world is still like thinking this way. That's insane. Because
Yeah.
it's so easy to forget when you're just around people who at least like try to come off very woke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Just like going back to the videos that you posted during quarantine, I'm curious what the actual process looked like because we're talking a lot about what the perception was. And I remember like there being like cuts and stuff. And I remember at the time not really thinking about like that it must have had to be edited and like filmed in multiple takes and stuff like that. So I am just curious what the like real process looked like for filming stuff like that.
Yeah, the real process is super silly. It's very like, clean my apartment, organize everything, make coffee, blah blah blah. And then it was like my apartment, I felt it was very like symmetrical, I think is the word, where it's just very, like there's little doors and like I remember a lot of comments were like, oh, this is so like Wes Anderson-y and like da 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 da, because it was very like I think I am an artist and stuff, and I do photography and like a bunch of other like mediums and stuff. It's something that I just do like for fun. So I think I was trying to like make use of that, like where I was like, oh, like I want to make like a dancing video, but I want it to look nice, And so it'd be like me like putting my phone up, like I had like a my kitchen had like a shelf above the sink that was already like there, and I would put my phone like there, and then that would like go through, like you could see the outline of the door, and then through it was the living room, and then the other door that was like adjacent to that or whatever. And I was like, oh, this looks nice, like I'll shoot it there, I'll shoot it, like in the living room, and like just have it be very like I wanted it to look fluid, where it felt like almost like you were watching like a movie scene or something, because I thought that looked nice. But and it did take a couple tries. There'd be moments where I was like, oh, like I didn't like do the right like move going the right way or something, but it would end up turning into like me being like, oh, it's kind of like doing little choreography and whatever, where I was like dancing, 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 and then would like turn and spin, and then that would like change the, angle, and I would have to stop and like grab my phone and move it to a different place, and then, continue and kind of, and I did it all, the editing was on the app. I like never used like a second party like editing thing and then to upload it. It was just like all strictly on the app, like TikTok. And so it'd be like the counting down, and I'd have to like time it out where I was like, okay, go, like or whatever. And it was very fun. I think it I remember like having people point out, they're like, when you really think about it, like you're, taking your camera and moving it and like having to start over. And I was like, yeah, that's what this is. Just like how silly. I think it felt very silly, and it still sounds very silly to me, but it was for like a purpose of like, I think especially after like I wanted to watch it and be like, this is a fun thing to watch, and like it looks nice and it looks fluid. Like I think I had an appreciation for that. And then I think especially once, a lot of people were watching them and stuff, I was like, well, I especially want it to look, nice and good. And even when I started doing like other videos that weren't necessarily like the dancing specifically, I think it was more like trying to emulate like a feeling of like, I think I did like one where it was for my birthday, and I kind of just showed like the whole day of like either right before, it was the day before my birthday, or it was the day of. But just showing that it was like, this is my birthday, and this was like almost emulating like a feeling of like I was alone in the video, but I felt very like at peace and very happy. And like, I think that's kind of what that felt like, even if it was like me getting out of bed to put my camera like over to show where my bed was, and then me going back to bed and like waking up. It was just very like, well, I'm doing this to like show what I did feel like 5 minutes ago, right? Because it was like I was doing that like 5 minutes ago, but you can't really do that unless you have like a crazy camera crew that's like recording you all the time or something.
No, that's why I was so interested about it, because I think about those kinds of videos where people just wake up, but they're not just waking up. Obviously, they have to put the phone there and then they have to wake up again. And I'm always
Exactly.
curious, like, if it feels weird to film because it's kind of taking away like something genuine, but then in another way, like in terms of like your dancing videos, I was just curious if it still felt genuine to you because you were probably also just having fun while doing it, like you said.
Yeah.
So that's like, I think a piece that people aren't even like seeing.
Yeah, I think it was that, like, at the end of the day, I was still having a lot of fun, like, recording it and everything. And, like, even if it ended up having me, like, do multiple takes and stuff, like, it was still me, like, moving my body and, like, getting that kind of, like, blood flowing and stuff. And ultimately, like, that was good for me at the end of the day, like in terms of like my physical and mental health. So I think that's really like where I was like, yeah, like maybe it is like a little curated or like, you know, not like obviously it's not like the most honest version of what's going on, but it is just like as long as I feel good about what I'm doing and like it is like helping me in a way that is healthy, then like I am fine with that. And that it would be something that I'd be doing regardless of if an audience was watching me or not, that I would be like dancing alone in my apartment to like make myself feel better or something. That I think that was the thing that I attached it to was it's like, yeah, like I'm recording something, so there is gonna be like this weird clunky, like you know, silly thing about it where it's like not me just like putting the phone up and like recording me live, like dancing in my apartment or something. 'Cause then that would be like the most like genuine version of that, I guess. But I think it was, I attached more like the concept of it was like, well, this is what I would be doing. And I want to show that to people because people like it now and that's cool. And it also just helps me feel better about, you know, me getting through my day and stuff.
Really sweet. It's funny though, because I remember too, even being younger and watching, first getting on YouTube and Tumblr and watching, like, especially I remember couple videos where they would film like them jumping in each other's
That's
arms
such a
or
good
just like
comparison.
kissing or something and being like, oh my God, this is so cute. And then looking back on it and it being like, okay, they had to set this whole up. Literally, like you're in a movie scene or something, like you're two actors. And it's just such a funny thing to look back on now, or even like morning routines that people would film on YouTube and watching those and being like, okay, well, this is all just like set up. So it's a really interesting thing.
Cool for you to talk about it because it's like I think that's what like takes away like what we were talking about earlier, like the perception weirdness. It helps with that, I think.
Yeah, totally.
I also wanted to ask, I know you're not on it anymore, but when you were on TikTok during quarantine, if there was anyone that you followed or anyone you watched who like just inspired you or like helped you embrace yourself, or even just if you feel like TikTok in general was kind of helpful in like showing you how you could express yourself, especially like as someone who's a non-binary person, if there were creators or just like spaces that you felt were really inclusive on TikTok.
Yeah, there were definitely a lot. I think now, since it's been so long, I can't like think of like names off the top of my head, but like, oh yeah, like that's how I dance, like listening to that song and stuff. And like, that's so fun. And
Also, the sun going down in my room right now is like fucked
oh
up.
my God,
You mentioned like
yeah.
my room is going
Whoa.
dark. I'm a floating head, but I just needed to acknowledge that. But I was gonna ask, in terms of just like kind of like queer TikTok, do you feel like that was helpful for you at all? Because you probably don't know, because like if you're not on TikTok now, but there's like another like person who I watch who like does a lot of like non-binary fashion, who really like I feel like helped me, like Madeline Lair, we talked to, she's awesome. But it was just like awesome to see that on TikTok and realize that I could dress that way and
Yeah.
that it's like a possibility. So I'm wondering if that same logic like applies to you with TikTok or just anything else in general, like what has like helped you like embrace yourself? Because I know you've spoken a lot about self-love on TikTok and like empowerment with that.
Yeah, I think you know, like navigating being non-binary and stuff online, Especially when, I mean, now, you know, like I have longer hair and I dress differently than I did like back then, but I think it was cool to consume a lot of media where there were a lot of non-binary people that expressed themselves in a bunch of different ways, and kind of like taking that as like a reminder of like you can express yourself however you want. Like as long as it feels honest with yourself, like true to yourself, and you feel good in your own skin, like that I think is what matters the most. But like I remember struggling a lot, like when it came to like my sense of like style specifically, and like tying in with like being non-binary. Like I thought I had to present myself like a lot more like androgynous or like masculine and stuff like that, which I think is great to still do. But I think now growing up a little more and like using social media less to like be the thing that I like use to navigate like what I want to be wearing to feel comfortable. I think I ended up like I kind of figured out like in the last 2 years that dressing how I used to dress as a kid, or like you know what a kid me version like wanted to dress as or something, ended up sticking with me like really well, like where that's kind of how I dress now. Obviously, I don't dress exactly like how I used to when I was in fifth grade or something, but
Yeah.
that it's like all the things that I did really like as a kid, and it feels very much like myself, and I feel way more like comfortable as I am. And I definitely like obviously I'm perceived more as like a femme person, with you know my hair being the way that it is, and I dress like kind of all the spectrum of like you know how we label masculine and feminine, you know, ways of dressing and stuff. But I think it's more about like how I feel like with myself more than what other people perceive me to be than anything. And so I think once I stopped like forcing myself into a box where I was like, oh, I have to be androgynous, or I have to be, you know, more like hyper masculine so that people like take me seriously or like perceive me the way I perceive myself, it's just kind of like I don't need to do that.
That's a really sweet thing of like dressing how your kid self would want you to dress. I've like never heard anyone talk about like that specific thing before, and I just feel like that's a really sweet thing because I know we talk about it, or people talk about it a lot with just other things of like, oh, what your kid self would want you to do for work, or what your kid self would want you to think about your body or whatever. But to think of it in terms of fashion and style is a really cute thing also.
Yeah.
I feel like it's something I do in my head, but I don't like realize I'm doing it in my head. So it's like nice that you just put words to that.
I did kind of want to shift to, I know you talked about before a little bit about going off of social media and how you're not on it at all now, except for going on Instagram on your laptop. But yeah, I was curious just to start kind of what made you want to go off social media, and from like posting and kind of blowing up on TikTok to then just going off it, if it was a like sudden thing or if it was more gradual where you slowly just started to stop posting.
Yeah, I had slowly like kind of started to, you know, not posting and stuff when I moved back to New York in 2022 and had some stuff happen where I was just kind of off social media, like taking a break, and just trying to like focus on being present like in my life. And 'cause I think I realized I was very afraid of comparison, like comparing myself to other people online and having that like consume like my time or like my headspace. And so I like took a break during that time and then would only like post on TikTok like every so often. And then over time, I think I just like slowly like naturally started to shift away from it, where a lot of my like values and stuff lie in like community and like the people around me and stuff, like the people that are like present in my life. And I think with that, I was just kind of questioning like how valid social media was in terms like of that. Like, does it align with those values? And I think in some ways it definitely can. Like, I've met a lot of wonderful people through you know, like Instagram and TikTok and all these different places. And I'm so grateful for them. Like, they're people who are very close to me. But I think in a lot of ways, like, it breeds like a very superficial level of like getting to know people. When I think it requires a lot more like effort and labor. And it's difficult, like relationships are difficult. So I think I was kind of like looking at that, like the concept of relationships, and looking at social media and being like, okay, this is taking up space that could like have more room to focus on like expanding my sense of like vulnerability and closeness, like with the people that are actually around me. And so I think I started to like kind of push away from it. Plus, I just didn't feel like a attachment or like a use with it. Like, I think I was like, okay, well, I don't really want this to become my job. And then with everything with Palestine and that coming out and stuff, where, you know, everyone was talking about it, and I think it was obviously super important to talk about it. The last kind of post that I put on TikTok was just me being like, I don't want to serve a purpose as like a distraction. You know, like, obviously my content, like, people liked and felt very like heartwarming towards, and they were like, you remind me of like good things, and, you know, like, this helps me feel better, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's really, really great. And I'm really glad to have been able to provide those things for people. But at the same time, I think my belief with that was, if I continue to make those videos, it just is another voice in the void that is distracting people from focusing on things that matter more and matter more to me, where it's like, I don't want to be silent, and I don't want, you know, to ignore the fact that I had the amount of following that I did, because I think it would have been a shame not to say anything, and hopefully like at least have some people read it and, you know, choose to do something that will help. There's tons of creators that are on social media and stuff that are like doing the intense labor to like a degree that we can't fathom. That I was like, those are the people that like deserve that time and space to be heard. And like, again, like I think like, given the fact that I was already kind of shifting away from it, I was like, this is kind of like my last piece that I'll say. Is like a reminder, just like, hey, you know, like, if we want things to be better, and if we want community, and we want like change and stuff, like, I think, you know, using TikTok as like a distraction, or using me as a distraction, isn't something that I want to participate in. And like, hopefully using that as like a shift of perspective, where it's like, you know, continue to talk about it, continue going to protests, continue participating in your community to like help each other, and in turn, like, hopefully help, you know, in the grand scheme of it all, right? Like, just like helping change, like, move forward, right? Because that's like a long term, you know, like, obviously I'm not going to be the person to change that, but I want to be a part of the generation that helps progress it forward. Months later, the reason I deactivated my account was because I kind of had a situation with like stalking that happened. And I think it was something that I had always kind of been wary of, like, while being on TikTok the entire time, was, you know, the reality is you have like thousands of people following you, and you just have no idea like who could be following you, and, you know, what they might be going through or something. And I ended up having kind of a scary situation happen that led me to kind of like privating everything and deactivating my account and everything, because I was just like, this made me realize like truly how much you put yourself out there online, and like not really thinking about it, where it's like, this person knew like who I was friends with and what I was doing and where I was, and, you know, all these things that like, I thought I was like a safer person, like in terms of like putting myself online. And even then, I think it made me really like snap out of it in terms of like Oh yeah, like I really do put myself and everyone I know like out there. And am I willing to like continue to do that? And my decision ended up being, you know, that it wasn't. Depending on your circumstance, like there's a lot of people who need social media to like work and survive and stuff. You know, with art and like the way that they have like made that like super normal in our lives and like almost dependent on it, right? That like I'm not one of those people. I have a job separate, like consistent, you know, financial stability and stuff. So I have the choice to opt out of that. And then use that time that I would be like, you know, on social media or like fostering the, you know, more so like superficial relationships with people or just like superficial interaction. I don't want to say like superficial relationships, but you know, the interactions aren't like deep conversation where you're like knowing everything that's going on in each other's lives and catching up over the phone and, you know, all like things that take time and effort. That like it gives me the time to actually do that. And it also gives me the time to think of ways to like make things more accessible outside of social media. Like a lot of friends here, the conversation is that like everyone is kind of worn down by social media. And if they could have the choice to opt out, they would. And they're like, but then I wouldn't know about like anything that's going on. I wouldn't know about, you know, like all this stuff. And I think there's more and more people who are realizing that because there's like a Rizzo printing company here, like where I live, that every month will print like all of the artists and musicians that are like passing through the month at like whatever venues and stuff. And so then you can like they like leave those like at coffee shops and whatever. So if you like go to like a store or a coffee shop or whatever, like you'll find that and you can like flip through it and be like, oh, okay, cool. Like I know like, you know, a decent amount of bands that are going to be playing. And then you're finding out information that like is more like physically present in community rather than, you know, like going on social media because it's like easily accessible and everyone posts on there only or something like that. When I was really thinking about it, I was like, I don't want to feel as insecure as I do, like being on social media, just in terms of like my like relationships with people. Like if people are like spending time together without me, I didn't want to feel bad about that. Like I wanted to like be able to live presently in my life. And if somebody invites me to something, that's awesome. And if they hang out with somebody else, I have no idea and I'll find about it later. And then I'll be like, oh my God, that's so fun. You know, like whatever. Instead of like being like, why the heck are everyone, you know, hanging out without me or something when it's like has nothing to do with me, right? And yeah, just like a bunch of, there's tons of different reasons to not be on social media. For me, like I'm just like, I don't want to feel insecure. I want to participate directly in my community. I want to be, you know, a little more like vulnerable and like open to the people around me. And that requires, you know, a lot of time and effort and labor and dealing with conflict and, you know, yada, yada, yada. But yeah.
Thank you for also what you said about like Palestine, because I think that's like a really important message, especially if it's like you're not going to talk about it really anymore on social media. It's like a, I think, a good thing to like direct people's attention to. But I was also going to ask, like,
Hold on. I'm also gonna turn on the lights in my
Yeah, no,
room.
I like
I'm
decided to midway
literally
through. I was like, I
like,
gotta do something
yeah, I
about
have to
this.
get
And I'm
off
gonna do
of
it silently. Like, whatever you meant to people, have you thought at all about like the lacking of like your profile or presence online? Was that like a weird like thing to decide when you just had kind of this following sitting there?
I remember people being sad that I wasn't active anymore. And like one of the last comments that I actually received before deactivating my account was like, we miss you, like come back. And I was like, no, I'm sorry. You know,
Out.
but I think it was like I think like it's not something I like really thought about that much. Like obviously I was like, ah, oh, whatever. But I think now I'm kind of like things come and go. And people come and go, like that is the unfortunate like truth of living. And I think in a very lesser scale, like people aren't going to be there forever, and I wasn't going to be on there forever. I don't think that was ever something I like wanted to do. So I think like for my audience, it was a really, really like great run. Again, like most of my followers are like some of the kindest people. Like they really truly like did not have that much bad stuff to say, and you know, we're just very like appreciative of me and the things that I did, which I was just like, it felt so like I felt silly for what I was doing at the time because I was like, I'm like not really doing anything, you know, but I think I really was grateful for how much people like shared their appreciation with me. And I still hold a lot of like gratitude for that. But they will continue to live without me is, you know, the truth too is, and that's just like, that's just life. Like in general, like I think of, you know, like even like your direct relationships, like there might be times where you thought somebody was going to be in your life forever and then they're not. And it's really sad and really hard and makes things different, but then you like can continue moving forward, and then you know, years down the road, people are never gonna think of me again, or they're gonna think of me and be like, oh yeah, like that happened. Nice, you know, like, yeah, like I, you know, even like I have friends who I met like when I was living in other places where we became friends, and then down the line, they were like, oh yeah, like I knew who you were already. And I was like, that's crazy. But they're like, yeah,
Whoa.
they're like, but you know, you don't do that anymore. And like, you know, that was sad. And I was like, yeah, but like, look at us. We're friends now. And that's crazy. You know, like, just, I think it's like people, there's going to be, I don't know, like people existing online and then them not existing online is like normal.
I was gonna make a really bad joke and be like, well, actually, your stalker notices if you're not online,
Oh
so I think people
my
will remember me from that.
God.
And I like, should I say that? Well, I guess I'll say it
They're
publicly
like,
that I wasn't sure if I should
no.
say it. Wait, I was really curious about that though. I don't know. I can't imagine that also
That's
just
like
affecting your
terrifying.
experience online, because it's like, oh my God, like you're not just like living your life online anymore. Now it's like this whole other thing that you have to be like afraid of, and that's like not fair. That's like being scared of like living in a way. It's very weird.
Yeah, it was you know, in total transparency, it was like super terrifying. But you know, like I think now, like the reality is if I'm not online, then they don't know what's going on. And
That's crazy.
yeah, and you know, like I think for a while I was like really struggling to accept that because I was like I make art, I wanted to share my art online, you know, and all these things, and I still can. It's just going to be in a different way. And I think it forced me to decide like what I wanted to do with being online. And I think it helped me just like push myself towards like, as horrible as that experience was and scary and invasive and everything, I think it helped me steer myself into a direction that I was like going towards. It just like was going to take more time for me to get there, and instead it became like a, you kind of don't like, you either choose to do this now or you like, you know, have to navigate this like scary situation, and is it even like worth it to be, you know, online like with that. And I'm sure like everybody has different like perspectives on situations like that, like where like I have friends where similar situations have happened to them and they choose to stay online and they're just kind of like whatever, you know, like, or they just don't want to like be afraid of that and have them like stop doing what they want to be doing, which is super valid. I think for me, I was just kind of like, I think social media is just different for me now, and I don't want my space to be invaded the way that it was in that experience and stuff. And I think I was always that way, like just in general, I didn't really want people online to know like me and my life, you know, like in the grand scheme of things, I think I like want normalcy and privacy. And I had to make a choice.
It's really scary how like normal that is to just put everything on social media, even if you are just like a normal person. It's like, because I remember being little when the internet first started being what it is and social media first started being a thing, and how crazy schools and parents would enforce like not putting any public information online and stranger danger and all this stuff. And now it's like that's not really even a thing anymore, because it's just the norm to put everything about yourself online.
I mean, it's something that I was always warned about, and I was like, yeah, like of course, like I'm not gonna, you know, I'm not gonna like put the streets that I live on or something, or like my address or whatever. But yeah, I think it really hit me how little I like really realized like all of the stuff that I was putting out there was being like, you know, noted by people. And yeah, it's just like, I think it's just like a wake up call.
I'm curious what you do now for work, whatever it is that social media served for you. Like, how do you emulate that in your real life?
I work for an apple orchard. I do like illustration and design for them, like internally. And yeah, like it's just a regular, degular job, like super office oriented. And I work remotely. So, you know, like I work in this room that I'm in. And yeah, with social media, like I make art and like would post my art on there and like post the photos of friends that I would take. Like I take film photos. I, you know, do like video edits of like my year and stuff, like just things that mean a lot to me, like in my heart. And like, I've taken like a step back where I was making like textile art, like I was doing rug making, and like am in a position where I can't really do that right now. So like it's kind of on a break anyways. And then if I want to like share my work, I have friends who like are a part of more like art world stuff here. So it would just be like me having to like reach out to people and like build a portfolio that I would share with them rather than them being like, oh, what's your Instagram? I think it just means like I'm going to have to be navigating things where it's like a little more difficult or like annoying or requires me like pestering people more if I like want, you know, opportunities for that. But I'm kind of like, I don't, with the fact that I like don't have to survive off of my art, it's not like a something that I'm like stressed about. I'm still going to like work on art stuff. And like my best friend and I like want to make like a cartoon show. And that's like a 10-year, like I'm planning that as like 10 years down the line. Like it'll be all done and whatever.
Oh, that's so cool. You know? I end up doing that.
That's really cute.
Yeah, like those are like, I think it's helped me really like focus on like, what's the stuff that I want to do? What's the stuff that I want to accomplish? How am I going to do that? I can't really do that on social media anymore. So what do I do, you know, outside of that?
It's cool to hear you talk about it though, because like you said earlier, and like so much of doing art and anything creative is wrapped up now and almost dependent on social media stuff. So it's just cool to hear you talk about how you're still doing creative things and still having those outlets, even though you're not on social media or not like sharing them or capitalizing off of social media.
I think, you know, the fact that the conversation always is like realizing and recognizing that we're all kind of forced to become dependent on it unless you are in a position of privilege where you can choose to opt out, right?
I feel like that, just like the fact that everyone is realizing that and a lot of people would opt out of it if they could is says a lot. But thank you again so much for coming on, especially since you are very like offline, and also for letting us into your deactivated account just to,
No, that was so sweet.
We really appreciate it.
It was a trip down memory lane.
You're like, aw.
Yeah. It was so telling of like quarantine time. It like really like was nostalgic to look at, actually. I was like, wow.
No, yeah.
That's crazy.
No,
that's what I watched when I was younger.
And the sounds, it was so fun. Too. Like the songs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. That's so, it's, it was just like such a time capsule.
No, literally. When you guys like, when I reactivated my account and stuff, I was like looking through all my old videos. I was like, oh, like, oh, little me, like a little me from like years ago. That's so sweet. And yeah, it was fun.
I don't know if you saw, I was like, oh, can I give that a like? But like, does not matter at all. Like, I like
Like
the add
literally gonna
one
be
more like to
deactivated the
this.
next day.
I was like, oh my God, great video, giving that a like. And we do have one more thing that we have all of our guests do. We have everyone request Josh Ovaye. We've been trying to get him on the podcast. If you could
Okay.
just do it too, it's kind of
Do
our
it.
thing. We'll send a thing in chat.
Yeah, I was waiting for you to say, I like don't have the thing
I,
saved.
you like don't have like it in you to say it, I don't think.
I don't think so because it like kills me. Like
I killed me,
it kills
okay?
me to hear you say it. Like it's like, why do we do it? Is the
I don't
question.
know, because we can't stop until
We
we
can
get
opt out
him.
of it at any
We
time.
can't. You can't opt out.
When we can opt
Sorry.
out of social media when Josh Ovaya comes on our podcast. Okay.
Exactly.
I'm copying.
I say it now.
Yes.
Okay. I, Nico Page, hereby request Josh Ovaye for collaboration with the Internet is Dead podcast. Please, Josh, be a guest on the podcast. We miss you.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. I was like
Of
picking at my skin as
course.
like